Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're on Money FM 89.3 with me, JP Ong. And again, it's been another wobbly session for markets. This Thursday, investors are still taking stock of recent vaccine developments this time that's being checked by signs of flaring U.S.-China tensions. And how crucial will an extension of stimulus and support measures also be for both the global economy and the sanity of markets? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, I'm joined by Mr. Jeffrey Haley, the senior market analyst from Owanda, to share his views on the recent uncertainty. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you're in good health, and welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, JP.
So, at the start of this week, everybody was more or less focused on the release of those vaccine results in the Lancet Medical Journal. We've seen markets generally not get that as significant of a boost as we thought. Can you talk to us about what markets are coaxing these vaccine developments against, and what and how this is influencing some of the market moves that we've seen that have been a little bit more stuttery in recent days?
Well, I think we've seen it affect different markets in different ways. So equity markets have moved slightly higher this week, but not markedly so, but had actually tracked higher in anticipation of some of these announcements last week. What we have seen is the forex markets and commodity markets react quite strongly, though. The US dollar sell-off that we'd seen on the basis of a global recovery through early June had gone into hibernation for the last sort of 4 weeks. We saw the US dollar move sharply lower against most major currencies and also Asian currencies during this week, and that looks set to continue. We've also seen gold break new highs. We've seen silver race up by 17% this week, and we've also seen oil break out of its recent one-month trading ranges as well. So although equities themselves have had a reasonably quiet response to these announcements, because I think a lot of that news is priced in, we have seen other markets moving quite strongly. And I think actually what we're seeing now is a renewed momentum of this global recovery trade. Risk factors obviously being the pandemic in the United States and US-China geopolitics.
So which markets do you think is momentum shifting towards, Jeff, based on what you're seeing?
Well, definitely, I would have to say currency markets, the rotation out of US dollars, the US dollar through, if you saw the price action from mid-March, the US dollar has been the safe haven of last resort for many, many reasons. We saw a rotation out of that as vaccine hopes and recovery hopes rose through May and early June, and then currency markets, as they want to do, go into long periods of consolidation and sort of hibernate. This seems to have coaxed them out of their hibernation, and we're seeing quite strong moves against the dollar by major currencies. We've seen the Aussie break up through 71, Euro touched 116 overnight, British pound moved up through 127, and now we've started seeing the Malaysian ringgit, Thai baht, the Singapore dollar, and even the Indonesian rupiah start to show some strength after trading sideways for quite a long time as well. So there's definitely some interest in the currency markets. Gold and silver have exploded higher this week. Silver, as I said, is up 17%. Gold traded to around 1880 overnight, and it's just shy of its all-time highs at 1920.
In fact, in your most recent research note, you actually took some time to talk about silver in particular. Now, whenever you talk about precious metals as safe havens, we always talk about gold, but why do you think silver has been getting a little bit more love now? Is it just because a lot of the safe haven demand has to go somewhere and silver is getting a bit of a rub?
Well, actually, I think this is the misnomer. I mean, and I'm guilty of really missing this entire move myself. Silver itself fell to $12 an ounce during the mid-March capitulation trade. And as of yesterday, it was up and around $22 to $22.50. So silver itself is up 90% from its mid-March lows. So it's had an absolutely spectacular comeback. That's accelerated over the last week or so, where we've seen a 17-18% climb in silver from $19 to $23. I think part of the reason for this is liquidity. So silver itself is less liquid than gold. So on financial markets, moves tend to be more extreme because there's just less bids and offers there to two-way price volumes. We've seen some flows into silver ETFs, but also silver is quite quite an important industrial metal. So instead of just being a haven metal such as gold, it also has industrial uses. And as the world's economy recovers, quid pro quo, industrial metal use should rise, and thus silver prices should also rise as well. But my opinion is that silver has been leading the equity markets all the way up since mid-March, and until I see signs that the silver rally is really turning quite strongly to the downside, I think you can stay positive on other markets.
We're still speaking to Mr. Jeffrey Haley, the senior market analyst for Owanda here on Money FM 89.3. Now, earlier on before the interview, Jeff, we were talking about what might seem to be like analysis paralysis for markets. And everyone seems to be scrounging for a possible market driver to guide their investment decisions. Can you talk to us about what you're seeing in terms of all of this? And do you think markets might be trying to overanalyze beyond some of these major drivers that we've outlined from the COVID-19 pandemic to geopolitical tensions and even some of the stimulus that we've actually talked about?
Yes, I think this is most evident in our equity markets. I mean, the equity markets recovery from the mid-March sell-off has been nothing short of breathtaking. And to most of us, when you look at equity prices compared to our real lives on the ground, they seem extremely disconnected. It's also stressed out traditional pricing models for equities as well, using various data points. We're getting into this analysis paralysis where the forecasters are trying to create models or use the traditional models to justify where the prices of equities, for example, are right now. But it's looking at it the wrong way. I think it's important not to get caught up in the short-term nuances of the market. If you're an investor, your time frame should be multi-year, not multi-hour or even multi-day. And what we need to understand are the underlying drivers. There's trillions and trillions of dollars, euros, yen, whatever you want to call it, of 0% money slushing around in the world's financial system that needs to find a home that's been issued by the world's central banks. We are seeing signs of a recovery in the global economy. We're seeing a lot more retail traders entering the market, buying stocks as well. And that's created this huge momentum. And this is it's momentum and central bank monetary policy that is driving stock markets, for example, because if you're earning 0% on your money, if you can make 2% on a stock from a dividend yield, that's still not a bad effort if you're an institutional investor. So monetary policy is driving this rally and not traditional pricing models. So I think it's important to keep an eye on the big underlying issues and not get yourself tied up trying to fit data to the price action.
Of course, fiscal stimulus and fiscal support is also very important in these times, and a bit of a moment of truth for the U.S. with lawmakers. They're trying to find a way to extend some of these unemployment benefits to try and backstop folks there that have been affected. How crucial is this going to be? And if they can't agree to a possible extension, will this mean that equities might start to correct down, maybe not to March's lows, but take a step or two back?
It's definitely a risk factor, JP. In total, there's about 34 million people in the United States who are on either jobless benefits or on a government support under the CARES Act. Those payments from the CARES Act expire this week. So there's a real urgency now to keep those payments going, because obviously lots of parts of the United States, particularly the Sunbelt states, are deeply entrenched in this pandemic, and we're starting to see closures again of parts of the economy, particularly in places such as California, Texas, Florida, key economic drivers of the United States. Because of that, there is a certain urgency, but there is a huge risk factor that the Democrats and the Republicans can't overcome their doctrinal differences to get a mutually acceptable package across the line for President Trump to sign. My feeling right now is that because there's an election in November, there is actually a huge incentive for these politicians to get their act together and get a new package together. But in the meantime, what we may see is a temporary act to extend those payments for, say, 2 or 3 weeks until a more comprehensive fiscal stimulus package can come to the market. So it's definitely a risk factor, but I do feel it's an unlikely one at this stage.
And just very quickly, Jeff, you mentioned a while ago that traditional asset pricing models are starting to get stretched and maybe even exhausted. In these times, are there any other pricing models that maybe you're finding more helpful?
For me, I've decided to, the more you think about the movements in stock markets since mid-March, the more irrational it becomes to most people. So you need to put that aside. You need to take a longer time frame. You need to understand that if you have a multi-year investment strategy, this is just one bad year, and not try to extract every single pip up or down from a move in equities. From 30 years of trading, I can tell you that never really happened. So to define whether you're an investor or a short-term trader, and understand then what the underlying drivers of this rally are, and when they're going to end. And I don't see monetary policy easing, fiscal stimulus easing anytime soon. I don't see real interest rates rising in the United States. If they did, that would call into question the rally. And I don't see momentum waning. And if the global economy recovery remains on track, and if we get a vaccine in Q4, and I'm very confident we will, we can still see equities make new highs still because of those underlying factors. You don't really need to get tied up in the data. In the bigger picture, you just need to understand what are the main macro drivers of this rally.
All right, Jeffrey Haley, Senior Market Analyst for Awanda. Thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. Stay safe, sir.
Cheers.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.